Hello and welcome to Women Rise, a podcast about women changemakers that explores the emergence of a new leadership paradigm which calls us to lead from within. I'm your host, Claire Molinard, and I live and work on the island of Corsica in the south of France. I'm a holistic coach and therapist. I teach and facilitate developmental programs for conscious women changemakers, helping them move from depleted and disconnected to resourced and interconnected. Every week, I meet with other women leaders and we explore the inner game of leadership and how, in these times of emergency, we are being called to our unique self-emergence to co-create a world that works for everyone. Hello and welcome to Women Rise. I'm so delighted to welcome Dr. Hollywood here today. Hollywood is the author of the bestseller, The Golden Thread, Where to Find Purpose in the Stages of Your Life. She's a master coach, a mentor, a scientist, and the founder of the Emergence Institute. She works with individuals, organizations, and businesses to align their lives with their soul purpose. So, Holly, I'm delighted to welcome you here. And I have been looking forward to this conversation.
Thank you, Claire. I'm so delighted to be here. We've waited a while for this conversation, so I have a lot of pent-up enthusiasm.
Yeah, likewise. As a way to start, I would love for you to begin with just telling us, what is the golden thread?
Like most of my stories, they're not simple, and I'll do my best to synthesize, you know, the sort of the origins of the work. First off, I didn't actually come up with the term. It came through me, as most everything does now. I'm very much a channel and a psychic and don't really operate, you know, in the normal way from my mental schema, though I use it as a foundation for everything that comes through. I had been living, you know, attempting to live an intentional life for decades, when the event that led to the golden thread happened. To backtrack a couple of decades, I had been challenged to figure out what it is I'm here to do my whole life. That was always a burning question in me, like, why am I here? What is it that I'm supposed to contribute? I knew from very, very early voices that said, you're here to do something important. So my whole life had been guided by, okay, what is this thing? Like, what is it I came back for? And what is it I'm doing in the world this lifetime that has kept me here despite lots of trauma and really challenging life circumstances, depression and suicidal ideation? And so in my 30s, I think I was, you know, I had a book fall out of a bookshelf basically on me that was about purpose, Greg Lavoie's book. And so maybe there's something about purpose. And I went down that rabbit hole. I go down a lot of rabbit holes when I'm enthused and inspired by something. And so many, many years, my doctorate, master coaching, training, et cetera. And I was working with clients. One day with a client, and part of my process, my work is to uncover the life story. Like, what is the story you've been living? I just knew there was something really fascinating in these stories that we live. And I was listening to one of my clients give me the details of her life. And all of a sudden, a golden thread showed up. I visualize, I see things. And as I was visualizing the trajectory of her life experience, all of a sudden, literally, a golden thread showed up. And showed me the connection between the elements of her life. And I'm like, whoa, what is that? Like, that's a golden thread. I don't even know what this is. And I became so fascinated by, like, what is this thing? And so I really began to study and explore, both in my own life and in the circumstance I raised my four kids to my own natural birthed children and then two stepchildren. And so I went back, like, oh my gosh, I've had all of these opportunities to utilize my life circumstances to explore how our soul guides us through life and its many opportunities and experiences to both liberate a greater awareness of what it is we're here to do, what our soul has brought us for, you know, the evolutionary trajectory of our life experiences, and also to create the opportunities and experiences that allow our healing and to have an awareness of our unconscious shadow, which is the involutionary. And so the golden thread, in essence, is really the weaving of the evolutionary and the involutionary experiences of our lifetime. So as we express ourselves more fully with greater awareness and come to understand and able to articulate who we are, what is ours to do, and also to do the healing work, to go in deeply into the crevasses of our life and excavate what is there to enlighten us so that we can relieve the burden of our trauma and karma, we become more evolved humans. And the more we can allow this trajectory to happen naturally, organically, and even make sense of our lives, that we become more fulfilled and liberated from that which our soul brought us here to accomplish, to resolve, and to be expressed fully. That wasn't very nutshell.
Thank you for that. That was a mouthful. And so there's a few things that stroke me in how you expressed that. Is the many times you said, I was listening. So you heard voices when you were a child and this book fell on your lap and you listened. You mm-hmm. asked yourself, oh, what is this book saying to me? And so there's this sense that you're very attuned mm-hmm. to how your soul is talking to you.
Yes. And, you know, and that's happened over the years. When we don't listen, you know, this is our soul is always willing to bring us another opportunity to hit us on the head.
So how does that work with the golden thread, right? When we don't listen, because
it repeats, you know, and that's why many of us have very jagged looking threads, lives that have had a lot of trauma and a lot of gifts. Mm. And I've had a lot of both, and I feel blessed to have had both. And the more you don't listen, the more times you're going to be confronted with that very thing that your soul wants you to experience, right?
So that's how the golden thread speaks to us, through the repeating experiences until we get it?
Well, I wouldn't animate the golden thread as a being or a spirit. It's the trajectory, you know, it's like the map of our experiences. I don't ascribe an aliveness to it. I describe it to our soul and our spirit. You know, our soul is the individuated expression of our spirit. We are spiritual beings. We're connected in the morphogenic field and in our human experience. And our soul is the individuated expression of spirit. So while we're interconnected, each of us has a very distinct, nuanced, one-of-a-kind, literally one in 480 quadrillion version. Like, so nobody else ever in any place in the cosmos is designed like you are to do what your soul brought you here to do. And so your golden thread is so distinct and so nuanced, and having a precise awareness of that critical nature of who you are as a divine being in the cosmic tapestry, listening closely to each call, you know, part of why it's called a calling, it's always calling us to pay attention to the nuanced invitation. This is our souls calling us. And so as we listen more closely, the thread actually settles down, you know, in the latter, you know, decade, this last decade of my life, especially when I've so learn to be attuned to the calls, to the voices, the nudges, sometimes the hurdles, the pangs, the pain. It calls us in many ways. And when I pay attention and listening so closely that the very next step I take is in that direction, or the very next action, or the very next expression of me is following that thread, then it doesn't feel so chaotic. It feels more easeful and graceful. And so my life has actually settled down. I don't have trauma like I used to. You know, I had decades and decades of trauma because I wasn't listening. And my soul just kept saying, Holly, you have to pay attention here. This is what you're here for. And so you have to learn in order to teach others.
Yeah. Yeah. So the golden thread, as you said, is more like a trajectory of our soul's journey. And learning to recognize the steps, that's how I can start to listen to my soul's calls and to its unique flavors and its unique desires.
Your deepest desire.
My heart's and soul's deepest desires are actually encoded.
Yes.
And within that thread, there are some signposts that give me a sense of whether I'm aligned or not.
Yes. And those signposts, you know, nudges. I like to think about them as nudges because they're very seldom so obvious as a signpost. I mean, so if you learn to listen to the signs and omens of the universe, you become very attuned to all the signs, but often they're nudges that feel like a heart flutter or an inspiration, or a pang, or a confusion, you know? There's a lot of ways it shows up in us that cause you to like, huh, you know, take pause. Like, okay, wow, that was out of the blue. I didn't actually expect that. What is that that lives in me? And how can I attend to it? Sometimes I'll have a thought just out of the blue, like, wait, what? What was that thought? Where did it come from? And like, okay, so I have to consider that's information, it's data. You know, I'm a scientist as well. And so it's all data that I'm constantly listening to deeply and assimilating to try to make sense of it. You know, and sometimes I don't know what to do with it either. Sometimes I need it to happen several times. Like, okay, got it now. Like, yeah, you've been trying to tell me that. I wasn't listening. Now I understand.
Yeah.
And the more, you know, just the more we listen, the easier it is to hear and the more quickly we can respond and pivot. You know, a few years ago, we were talking about pivots as if pivots are easy to make. Sometimes they're very challenging and upend our life, you know, those kinds of pivots. But
yeah, I just had a thought of you were describing this way of being again, you know, this deep listening and this learning to attune to my own and unique instrument, which is my body and my senses. And how is my soul talking to me? It might come through specific feelings or heart flutters or for me, often it's that deep sensation in the gut or just a knowing. I just know. And then again, if I doubt it, it'll come back to me until I really can trust it. Some people hear voices. Soul has a unique way of talking to us. And so for our listeners, it's really about leaning into the conversation with your soul, learning to recognize that thread and how it manifests.
Yeah. And I just want to pick up on something you said earlier. Our body is an instrument. You know, we have really seriously powerful sensory apparatus that can help us navigate the human experience, whether or not you have any psychic, extrasensory, subtle experiences. The basic sensory apparatus within your body are powerful instruments, but many of us are not embodied enough to use those sensory apparatus in a fine-tuned way. You know, some of the work I do with clients is generally helping people get back in their bodies and pay attention to all the myriads of signs that come through these phenomenal human apparatus, whatever that word is. You know, learning to listen, learning to see, learning to smell and sense, like our, you know, our skin is the largest organ we have. And so even if that's all you have, which is amazing, we are so adept at tuning into the world around us and what comes at us through us, in us, at a cellular, you know, molecular atomic level, we can still accomplish a lot. Following the attunement, using our sensory and extrasensory apparatus to tune in, there is what happens for most people is like, okay, got that, heard it, but I can't do that. I can't step into that. I can't possibly take that step. You know, so we are so repressed as humans in our acculturation to living according to social expectations and norms that this is where the shadow work comes in, becoming, you know, aware of having an awakened awareness of both that which lives within us, which we are called to do as we attune, and also to that which we are unconscious to, the shadow that has limited us because we've needed to accommodate the world we live in. So a lot of the work I do really is deep, deep shadow work, uncovering the fractured selves that were formed in childhood, the excavating the belief systems and structures that we create that govern who we are in the world and create an identity and the formation of our social self, and then recreating identity and alternate realities in order to move forward as we are gaining access to the brilliance, the genius of our systems, our tuning forks.
Right. And as you're speaking, I'm thinking of how much trauma there is in the body, and no wonder we're disembodied.
Yeah. I mean, everything I just mentioned is usually resulting from some level of trauma, either childhood, this lifetime. When I still call it a blessing, like everything we experience is an opportunity for us to dig deep into who we really are and uncover and deconstruct and reformulate ourselves. Or it could be karmic, like, you know, a lot of the work I do is regression work, because so much of what we experience in this lifetime is a result of our soul saying, yeah, you know, you got to clean up all that stuff. Like, you created a mess out there, and or the universe created it for you, whatever you believe. And all those tangled threads that you've been weaving through lifetimes, yep, we're going to try to resolve some of that this lifetime. So we're always cleaning up karma and ancestral trauma as we clean up ourselves. I don't actually see it as any distinct thing. Like, you know, whenever I do the work here to resolve the stuff that happened in this lifetime's childhood, I'm also resolving the collective and ancestral trauma. Like, it's not distinct. It's all the same.
Yeah. And in healing myself, I heal all that's behind me and all that's ahead.
Right. And in front of me.
And in front of
you. Know.
Yeah.
Time is infinite. We are, our conception of time and space, you know, we're challenged by believing that there's this single life, single trajectory, linear chronological time. And we know that that's not accurate.
We know that's not how it works. And so this life purpose that my soul has in store for me also comes through my trauma.
Oh, completely. It's all related. You know, and just to zoom out a bit, purpose is a word that has many meanings now. It has always meant for me what my soul brought me here to do, but it has many different meanings. And so for when I speak about purpose, it's that, you know, your deep soul purpose, your the reason for being in this lifetime. And as we spoke about, your soul brings you to a lifetime in order to do the involution and evolutionary dance. You know, if we could think about it as I'm coming to have a dance and I'm going to do some evolving in becoming more expressed and more potentiated as my true self. And I'm also going to do the involutionary dance, and I'm going to clean up some of the mess that was created in, you know, many lifetimes by me and all my ancestors and all the many others. You know, so it depends on whether how much of a collective being you are. I do a lot of collective trauma healing. So I come to this lifetime with that dance in mind, and my soul is constantly creating opportunities for me to say, okay, more expression here and more cleanup on aisle 9 here. You know? So trauma is just part of life. It's not something that happens to us. that we are victims of. And when this is all new to me in the last 20 years, like it took me a long, long time to move out of thinking, oh, life happens to me and I'm a victim. So the trauma that I experience is just an opportunity to witness myself. It's a mirror to what needs to resolve within me. And I have the opportunity to see it as that and choose to witness myself and uncover and deconstruct the complicated and convoluted expression of my soul that's been constrained and wasn't fully expressing, and then liberate those constraints to become more free and more myself so I can have even greater expression. So, you know, this whole notion that trauma is this huge thing, like, well, it is, because we're all constrained by it. And if we could choose to say, oh, trauma, yay, something's happening that I need to pay attention to that will serve me if I use it well. Yes. And I don't actually like the current conversation about trauma. I'm glad we're having it finally, rather than denying it, repressing it, hiding from it, numbing it with substances, which we've done for eons. We're finally talking about it, but it's not this big bad thing that we're all exposed to.
I think you said it clearly. The distinction that's most important with trauma is that I am not my trauma, right?
I am not my trauma.
I am not my trauma. And it didn't happen to
me. And it didn't happen to me. But more importantly, it didn't happen to me. I created circumstances, you know, maybe four lifetimes ago, I created circumstances that created the energetic resonance. And here is an opportunity to say, oh, let me uncover this. Let me be clear. I'm not suggesting that we cause trauma, that we cause crime, that we cause disease, that we cause war. You know, like, I'm not creating that. The universe is giving me an opportunity to have a reflection. Like right now, should we not be reflecting who we are as humans and how we created this mess that we're in, and take every opportunity to say, oh, whoa, if I look in the mirror, how am I a part of this scenario? Like, what am I doing? How did I contribute? What is my responsibility in this moment? Who can I become that creates a different scenario that helps to move us forward?
Absolutely. Beautiful. And actually, what you just said brings me to what I really wanted to talk about with you, which is this question of our collective purpose. Because yes, there is the soul's purpose, my individual purpose and my individual evolutionary path. And whether I will take it on in this lifetime or not, or in how I will take it on. But I'm sensing there's also a collective purpose for humanity, humanity's collective purpose. And my sense is that in this particular time that you just mentioned, in this time of polycrisis, there's an opportunity here for us as humans to rise up to the occasion. There is an invitation, a collective purpose that we are invited to fulfill. As you and I know, crisis is an evolutionary driver. And in this time of meta-crisis, humanity is being called to rise up to its collective purpose. That's the intuition that I have. And I would love to hear your thoughts on this.
I think it's a beautiful question. I don't have an answer to, you know, what is our collective purpose? I don't seem to really grasp that question well enough yet to even have I don't even have any thoughts about it. I do know, so in your last question, what can we do about it? What is the invitation? Is I still believe that each of us, every one of us who is willing and is resourced enough to step boldly I mean, boldly, now is the time. If you've been thinking about it and not quite willing and something scares you, now is the time to boldly uncover who you are and begin to step squarely into your own personal, true, authentic expression, so that each of us can become the most potentiated version of ourselves and bring that next expression to the planet now. Yes. The more of us that do that, the more the world will shift.
Totally.
I don't know any other way. It's the only solution I see. I mean, we can talk about infrastructure and the devolution of humanity. It's like, but unless more and more and more of us are actually really aligned. So quantum physics I've studied quantum physics now for enough time that, like, I know how magic happens. We have to become so aligned at a cellular, molecular, atomic, quark level. We know who we are. All our cells are moving in the same direction. We become internally coherent with ourselves. So all the actions, decisions, expressions of me are moving in the same direction. The universe is like, yep, you got it. All right, now I'm going to bring in the external coherence. So people start showing up and we are coherent. We create something together. You know, this is where tribe begins to occur. And then we begin to resonate at a level that, like, oh, actually our collective energy is moving out. We become available to superposition, so we can live in more than one reality. I can be living here in this human form, sort of in the constraints of my human existence, but I am also showing up as if I am truly my design sacred self, and I'm creating parallel realities, and then synchronicity and magic happens.
Yeah.
It's the only solution I know for our current dilemma. And that's where I'm taking people. This is my work. Like, I am now taking people into magic. Like, and it works. I've been trying it long enough in my own life and with clients.
And that's beautiful, Holly. I mean, what you just described to me is the beginning of fulfilling our collective purpose. I don't know what our collective purpose is either. But I do have a sense
that's interesting. Yeah.
That particular dynamics are magic. And when we do that as a collective, as a small collective, there is a collective purpose that starts to
yeah. I hadn't thought about it that way, Claire. It's beautiful. Thank you for,
you know, I thought about that because of that notion of creating islands of sanity. I think it's Mark Mead who talked about this. And Ervin Laszlo talks about it as well. He calls it something different, but basically it's when people come together. Mark Gaffney speaks about it as unique self symphony. So it's when people come together and each of them is fulfilling their unique purpose, have a sense of their unique path. And when that happens, there is a resonance and there is a collective energy that creates coherence and resonance.
Yeah. And Margaret Wheatley's been talking about it for decades as well. And
Margaret Wheatley, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. She's doing some beautiful work in that arena. And so my work is literally turning us each on, you know, me, my primary case study, like everything that I experience turns into some kind of new tool, because, like, okay, I'm suffering today. What do I need to do to get out of this suffering so I can turn back into my aligned self? So I've been doing this work for decades, just like a big guinea pig. But literally my work now is helping, you know, innovators, visionaries, founders, leaders, change makers, people who want to be wayfinders and, you know, like boldly moving forward. We have to be the most precise instruments of divinity. I guess that's how I would call it.
I love that. Precise.
I am so attuned to the sacred energy, voice, message. I am a vessel of the divine. That's all I am. I am nothing else. And I live
a unique one.
That.
And the unique and, one.
Right. Like nobody's like me, thank God. You know, nobody's like that's you. And the, we're all just these amazing unique thing, vessels. Right? Right. And when we find each other, it's like, oh my God, you're another one. Yay, it's a party. And let's be together and create magic together. Right. And it's great to find each other. And we really truly have to be aligned internally first. That's where it starts. We have to have that very, very, very precise awareness that creates the alignment of my quarks. You know, at the quantum level, I literally have to be living as myself, or I'm not going to be expressing that divinity.
Right. Right. There's a commitment. There is a deep commitment to that, right? That comes from.
Oh my, yeah. Oh my God. You know, just if you only knew what, you know, I don't call it sacrifice anymore because I'm so happy and joyful and, you know, feel like I'm living the best life. I have a life that, I mean, I don't know many people who are as joyful and happy as me. And that, and it's not a comparison thing. At times I felt like it was a true sacrifice. And now I realize, oh no, I'm the lucky one. I'm one of the lucky ones. Because I knew I had to do it. I was called, you know, almost, I was forced to do this work. And because of the life circumstances that propelled me. And it is a commitment. And most of us, because of the world we live in, are not willing to give up the things, to relinquish the things that keep us tied to the external indicators of success, you know, whether it's wealth or material items or connections that aren't necessarily serving us or locale in the world or whatever. Like, who would move nearly 40 times in your adult life to follow? My thread has called me to move and to leave relationships and to change careers and, you know, la, la, la. Like, it's asked a lot of me and I'm so grateful. And it's a level of commitment that not everybody's required. You know, that was just my journey.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm just feeling into the deep alignment of your soul to you and you to your soul.
My soul is committed to the birthing of humanity. I mean, that's really what my soul, I'm just a soul expression at this point. And my soul is completely committed to us birthing the new human form. What came through me the other day was, oh, this work that I am birthing right now, you know, in the next few months, is about creating the new human prototype. Like, oh, that's what I'm doing now.
Okay. So tell me more about that. And well, this is where your work is going now.
Yeah. And it's not that it's not the golden thread. It's just the golden thread is a piece of the work. And it is no different than what we've just been talking about. But I'm so clear now that, you know, the new human form, which I don't have a clue. Well, I don't have a clue what I'm talking about, Claire. It's just like, this just comes through me like, okay, just guide me. Give me instructions every step of the way and I'll be happy to follow them, which is kind of how I live. And so this new human form that we are becoming is so attuned at a quantum level. Our quarks must be aligned with the messages of many forms that come in through us. And we take each step, make each decision, every nuanced expression of us aligned with that self, which is spirit living through us and our soul expression, and boldly, courageously stepping into that expression because we've worked through all the constraints of our former selves, of our fractured childhood parts, of our limiting beliefs and all those systems and structures and our somatic constrictions and our energetic misalignments. We've done that work and now we are pure vessels of divinity, willing to step boldly into the unknown because everything is shifting so rapidly that we have to be nimble, agile, mediated, sourced beings. And so my job literally is to help us become that so that we can be the wayfinders, the lighthouses, the guides as we're moving into the future. And in that process, we are liberating our next expression. So it's our next job. It's our next product. It's our next business. It's our next whatever. It's not just, I'm going to be some divine being radiating love. Yes, I am creating products. I am building business. I am launching things into the world that are an expression of me as that being.
Right.
And so it's very much also living in the real material world as an embodied being, doing the next thing that your soul brought you here to do. It's both a spiritual and a material interface. Both.
I have lots of light bulbs as you're speaking. I'm speaking of, again, that question I had earlier about our collective purpose. And what I'm hearing you say is that you're participating in the birth of that new human through what you're doing, all the dots and bolts that you're putting together to create that product. So it's very 3D, but it's also that sense that you're birthing through doing this moves.
Yeah.
You're birthing that new being. And I'm thinking of Aurobindo and, all these different planes that he was in his times trying to bring down into the earth plane. I'm thinking of also Barbara Max Herbert, who spoke of the new human. Mark Gaffney speaks about Homo Amor. So there is a sense of collective purpose here too. We are tapping into new capacities, new ways of being that are not where culture is now.
I had an opportunity to work with Barbara Max Herbert when I was at Shift Network. And I had the good fortune of being there when she was transmitting the Homo Universalis, her initial notion of this future being. And we would have long conversations about it. And she's like, Holly, do you think the world's ready? And I'm like, no, but you still have to have the
conversation. She was ready.
She was so ready. I'm like, should I do this? Like, yes.
She was so enthusiastic. She was, I just loved how she was lightening when she was talking.
What a lighthouse, what a guide for those of us who were at her feet, literally. And, she, like thousands of others, was an influence in my own birthing process. And I think I told you, I've been birthing this new course, this new product for 2 years. It was a vision that was downloaded a decade ago.
Wow.
And I kept trying. There had so many failed attempts at launching it. And over time, I'm like, I'm actually not ready. It's ready. I'm not ready. I don't have the capacity to hold this. So I had to become the being that literally could manifest this in the world. And of course, it shifted. The vision shifted. It became something else in the process of me becoming a more evolved and having done the involution work. And so now I am aligned with it. It is ready to, I'm done gestating this thing and it is ready to be birthed. And, literally I moved 10 days ago and it wasn't until I moved. I really think the place I was could not house this version of me and this new work. And I after I moved, start the labor process and boom. Oh my gosh, the labor process just initiated, all right, now it's ready. Now I'm ready. And this is kind of how it happens. This is part of why I've moved so many times is I just sense there needs to be a new environment, a new space, a new container to hold me newly.
Beautiful. So can you tell us more?
Yeah. So it's going to be it's a 4-month journey. I'm calling it an immersion. It is very deep work and it is for people who know they have something to be birthed that will serve the world. And oftentimes, people I work with, my clients, they have a sense of it. They've been orienting their life around it. they've tried it a few times, or they, you know, it lives in them, but it doesn't necessarily have a material world expression, but they know there's something like, oh my God, it hurts. I got to, you know, I got to bring it in, and, or I want to make a great contribution. And so, you know, I call visionaries, innovators, change makers, you know, whatever label people like us hold for yourself, it is literally to gain awareness of your golden thread and to liberate all the constraints. Literally, it's a deep, deep immersion into what is holding you back. Because what happens is, it's not so much that we have to uncover and unearth and discover the golden threaded purpose. It's like our soul has always been trying to live it. Like, there's no shortage of information available there. It's just that we shut it down in all the ways. And so a good chunk of this course literally is doing that deep immersion in what are the parts of you that have been repressed and lost, and reclaiming the power of those parts. So I've been doing a lot of internal family systems work now for a couple decades, and I've actually now innovated on that methodology. And so a lot of the course really is reclaiming the power that's been lost in the repression of our true self. And in that process, we begin to allow and align with and amplify the expressions of us that were lost that are now reclaimed, in order to appreciate, acknowledge, and animate, to live into that expression in this lifetime. So it's a very defined process that I use with clients. It never doesn't not work. Talk about triple negative. Literally, I it's not like I can guarantee anything, but it works.
And it worked.
I'm a scientist. I've been developing products for decades, and this is just a combination of the many, many things. And it's, you know, it's the whole human. The work I've been doing, I appreciated a podcast. I saw Richard Rudd, the founder of Gene Keys, last year, and he spoke about a wound map. And I'm like, oh my God, this is exactly what I'm doing. I'm actually helping us create a map, a wound map of our lifetimes, basically, that's shown up in this lifetime. And then through this work, you create a map of inner wholeness, which turns out to be your superpowers.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So we're liberating the gifts that we came to share in this lifetime by reclaiming all that power and moving into the next expression and liberating the next version of you, whatever it is. And it's a very, very immersive 4-month process.
Sounds like it. And so is it a group thing, or is
And so the point too, and it's part of it, actually a larger thing. I'm also creating a platform, but it's very much community based. Mm. My intent is, we can't do this work if we're not witnessed.
Right. Again,
you just can't. You cannot do this work, and I can't witness all the people. So I'm teaching people to witness themselves and others, so that we have a tribe, we have a community of like-souled humans who want to become the next version of humanity. And so this course will be the flagship offer of this new platform I'm also launching next year, which will be a platform that will also host not just my work, but, you know, there's thousands of people in the world offering cutting edge work that I don't need to replicate. It's your, you know, it's someone else's expression of their golden thread. Yahoo! There's so many of us doing this work. So my intent is to create a platform where, you know, the best of the best of the best come and, like, yes, you too can offer your thing here that we can all access, you know. And so we create this very large container of those of us who are wanting to be the next version of humanity.
We're
going to make this trip together.
That's only going to happen if we do it together.
Right. And I've been calling it a flotilla, because we're kind of arm in arm, ship by ship, sailing into the future, except we're not sailing into the future. We're bringing the future to us, right, by creating an alternate reality right here and now.
So
a lot of the work really is about, okay, now that you are this being, you've figured out what it is, we're going to create it right here and now. We're not going to wait another 10 or 20 or 30 years. Let's create this reality. And I've learned how to create parallel realities that evokes magic.
Is there a place where we can read about this course that's available?
So it's emerging so fast. I'm just now writing the copy, and it's not going to be a typical sales page funnel kind of thing. It's like, I don't have time for that. We don't have time for me to do some big, huge marketing thing. So I've outlined the course detail. I know what's in the product. I'm actually right now creating a description of it, and I'm probably going to do one or two different kinds of webinars. So if you go to my website, emergenceinstitute.net, and that's not emergency or emergent, it's emergenceinstitute.net, sign up for anything on my website. You'll be on my mailing list, and I'll start announcing it soon, you know, within the month.
Wonderful. And your website will be in the little descriptive and under the podcast. I think this is a good time to stop. There is just a million other things that I would like to talk, but that would be for another podcast. We haven't even touched on developmental stages and all of that juicy stuff, but we'll have another conversation.
Thank you, Claire.
Thank you so much, Holly. It was wonderful to have you here. Thank you.
Likewise.
Thank you for listening to Women Rise. If you enjoyed the show today, please leave us a review. To get announcements when a new podcast is published, send me an email at claire@uniqueselfemergence.com to be added on my distribution list. If you're interested in being a guest on my podcast, or you would like to join my private free group for female leaders, go to my podcast description for the links to apply. Thanks again, and see you soon on the Woman Rise podcast.